Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all here today. As I told the kids during our children's sermon, we are here on the cusp of Thanksgiving, but also Christmas is quite literally almost in our midst. The holiday season is all around us, and of course, we are in the middle of, actually to the end of our sermon series that we've been doing. We will begin our Advent series just here very, very shortly. It is also right around the corner, hard to believe that as well. We've been talking, though, for the last few weeks about the power and importance of weakness. That within St. Paul's writings, in fact, within all of the writings of the scripture, there is an emphasis on looking at weakness not as a negative, not as something to be purged from our lives, not as something to be getting rid of, but as something that we are to look at as an actual bonus. I don't want to call it a strength because I think that starts to muddy the waters. Weakness is a blessing. We've talked about how this happens in a number of different ways, but as we come up here on the week of Thanksgiving, I want to look at the importance of how weakness teaches us to live our lives. I have often said that it is a very good and fortunate thing that I really love serving in this congregation because I have to retire from here. I have no choice in the matter. Because the rule so far for my wife and I have been that we have one baby at every congregation that I serve at. It's not happening again. Four is good, so I have to retire from here. It's just great that I love it here. So I don't want to think about that one more time. I don't know, maybe grandchildren would count for a retirement congregation or something. I don't know. But here's the thing. With each of our children, there have been individual blessings, things that we have been thankful for, whether it was, just the first baby and learning to be parents, or the birth of a son, or how we have these wonderful kids that have come into our lives at various different points and brought different perspectives. Whether it is the fact that we renamed one of my daughters because we wanted to name her Hannah Joy, but we were like, well, that might be a lot to give a child. What if she's kind of a sour kid? And then we got to know her. We were like, oh man, we made the wrong choice. So we added Joy to her middle name, so she's Hannah Elizabeth Joy. And then of course our youngest Abigail is just our little go-along-with-everything kid, you know? But that wasn't the way it always was with Abigail. And not within her life outside the womb. When my wife and I decided to have our fourth, we went and lo and behold, we were pregnant and expecting and excited. And then the doctors started using words like geriatric pregnancy. I remember thinking, I don't like to be called geriatric anything quite yet in my life. I mean, that was just, you know, 11 years ago, I didn't feel like geriatric anything ought to apply. And the doctors started having concerns about this and concerns about that. And my wife had to be on this medication and that vitamin. And we had to do this thing and that thing. And I found myself doing something with Abigail's pregnancy time that I hadn't done with my other three kids. I worried. I worried a lot. I found myself thinking about all of the things that could go wrong, because our doctors kept talking about all the things that could go wrong, all of the things that can happen with a geriatric pregnancy. And then we had to find ourselves in the middle of a fight with the hospital because the local hospital in Mansfield was like, oh no, we don't want to do her delivery here. It's too dangerous. You'll have to go to Columbus. And so we found ourselves having to go to Columbus. And every day during that 9 months, I found myself doing two things. I found myself waking up in the morning and thinking about all of the things that could go wrong. all of the things that could go bad, and worrying about the baby's health, worrying about my wife's health, worrying about how things would be if anything happened to either of them. And then at the end of the day, the other thing that I would always find myself doing is I would find myself looking to God and thanking Him that we'd made it one day further into the pregnancy, one day further, one day closer to that magic 40 weeks, one day closer to not having to worry about the baby having a problem, having a defect, being stillborn, being born too early. I felt a lot of weakness during that time because there's nothing you can do about anything. You can listen to the doctors, you can take the doctor's advice, you can do your best to be supportive as you can be, but at the end of the day, as a parent, as a will-be parent of four, there was nothing I could do to change anything. I simply had to wait. I felt a lot of weakness in that period of time. Because as a father, you want to do everything that you can do for your children. You want to take care of them in every way you can take care of them. You want to protect and defend them in every way that you can protect and defend them. And there was a very limited quantity of things as I, as a father, could do. And we waited. And nothing went wrong. No bad things happened. There was no terrible outcome. There was no fear. I mean, yes, we did go to Ohio State University for Abby to be born. She is a Buckeye from day one. I've got the baby pictures to prove it. And it turns out it's a marvelous hospital full of wonderful folks who, when we got there, looked at us and said, well, why are you here? And we said, well, our local hospital wouldn't do it. We were a geriatric pregnancy with all sorts of complications. And they said, really? You look fine to us. I remember thinking, really? Why didn't we come here first? And then she was this marvelous little baby that made our lives I've got four kids, so she made my life 25% better. But during that period of time, I had to recognize that I was weak. Recognize that every single day wasn't in my hands. Every single day was, in fact, in God's hands. And at the end of every day, I found myself giving thanks. Being thankful for what I had. Being thankful for the three beautiful kids that I already had. Being thankful for the wonderful life that I had. In fact, all of my anxieties and fears were born of the simple fact that God had given me so much, and I was fearful about losing any of the marvelous things that God had given me already. God has done wonderful things in my life. I learned that one of the great strengths of being weak is we develop a thankful attitude. We become people who give praise to God where praise is due. We praise God because we recognize that it is God's hand that moves our lives forward. It is God's hand that is with us that gives us strength. It is God's hand that lifts us up, not our own. It is God's hand that is with each and every one of us in our hardest times. And it's easy to see it in the hard times. Doesn't mean that God is not with us in the easy times. It just means we get distracted during the easy times. And we forget to see how active God is in our midst. And as a result of that, we fail to be thankful. One of the great strengths of weaknesses is the things that we need to be thankful for are always in front of us. Now, on the days that are normal, the days that are easy, the days when we feel strong, instead of seeing every day as a present, we see every day as a product. Something that we have created, something that we have generated, something that we have made. We see every day as a practice of our will. You might say, well, what's wrong with that? Isn't that a good thing? Shouldn't we be these very self-sufficient captains of our own destiny? Well, I think there's actually some really bad things that come with that perspective. One, most of us either do one of two things when we look at our day as something that we ourselves have produced. We either look at it selfishly and say, man, I really killed it today. I've got everything figured out. I've got everything worked out. I am in control and I've got it all working the way I want it to work. Oh, but that is a temporary feeling, my friends. You can chase that feeling of I'm in charge, but it's very fleeting. And when it goes hard. Or we can look at our days and be very self-conscious and say, ooh, I could have done this. I should have accomplished that. I meant to get these things done, or ooh, I had this interaction and it didn't go as well as I thought it should. And we focus on all those places where we kind of fell on our face, or at least we think we fell on our face. That's not good either, because that's oftentimes not a very honest evaluation of our life. But instead, when we are in a place of weakness and we recognize that what's carrying us through the day is not our will, but God alone, we learn to praise God for the days that we have. Now we're coming up on Thanksgiving. That's coming up this week. And for a lot of us, I think there is this intense drive to manufacture an experience. An experience of joy and celebration and happiness, where everybody gets their favorite dish, whether it's stuffed mushrooms, and by the way, no matter what the kids say, stuffed mushrooms are awesome. Or turkey, or whatever it is that is the meal of your home. There is this feeling that we've got to manufacture this moment where we have things to be thankful for. And we have an experience to be thankful about. That's not the whole point. The whole point isn't to put a lot of extra work into a day so that we have something to be thankful for. The point is to take a day to be thankful for all the stuff we already have. For the people that are already in our lives. For the lives that we already have. For the days that we already experience, which each and every one of them is already a gift from God. To be thankful for the relationships that God's put in our life. To be thankful for the health we have. To be thankful for the opportunities we have. It is supposed to be a day where we give praise. Like I told the kids, when they first instituted Thanksgiving Day, our president called it a national day of thanksgiving and prayer. It was to be a day of praising God. Because when we establish an attitude of praising God for all the goodness in our lives, then we actually get a better perspective on who we are and what our life is about. We actually discover a lot more happiness comes in our life when we spend our time praising God for what He's doing in our midst, instead of either worrying about whether or not we've done enough to make everybody around us happy, or wondering if what we did today will be sufficient tomorrow. The great strength that St. Paul wants to lift up as he's writing to the people in Rome seems hard to grasp hold of at first, because he's quoting this passage where he says, there is no one in all the world who is good. There is no person who is sinless. There is no person who can stand before the throne of God and claim for themselves righteousness of their own. It sounds like a really negative message. It sounds like St. Paul is saying to each and every person, you folks are miserable wretches. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. But when you consider the fact that St. Paul is saying this in the context of salvation, what he's saying to them is, yes, we're humans. And by nature, we actually kind of are miserable wretches. There's not a one of us that can stand before the throne of God and say, I am righteous in myself. I'm better than everybody else. I don't make any mistakes. I'm perfect. And the law is there to remind us that we are weak. We are not perfect. We are not as we should be or even as we want to be. But then he goes on to say, but through the grace that is in Christ Jesus, you are yet nonetheless saved. You are forgiven. You are renewed. You are beloved of God Almighty in heaven. And just like every single person on the face of the planet has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, every single person on the planet has received Jesus Christ's grace, whether they choose to reject it or not is every individual's choice. But we have all received this incredible gift that Jesus has given to us from the cross. This guarantee that we are forgiven. This guarantee that we are beloved. This guarantee that we are renewed and will be part of the kingdom of heaven forever and ever. Not the good people, because Paul says there aren't any of those. The people, the broken people, the sinner people, that's all of us. Each and every one of us have received this incredible grace. So as we come into this week and we recognize the weight of what it means to be thankful, to be grateful, and to give praise where praise is due, may we be a people that revel in our weakness and say, I recognize that I am not the master of my destiny. I am not the captain of this ship. In fact, more often than not, I'm not even sure I'm the dishwasher on the ship. I'm a passenger. And God's hand is what is guiding me. God has given me my life, my family, friends, my faith. All of these things are gifts. And most important of all, God has given me my salvation. Not because I am so strong, but because I am so weak. And in this weakness, I have been given the greatest of all strengths, the grace of God. Amen.